Welcome to the Precision Farm and Dealer Podcast, brought to you by Ag Express Electronics. Great to have you with us for another episode. I'm your host, Noah Newman, technology editor. And today, once again, we're learning what farmers want from you. Muncie, Indiana grower Joe Hamilton and Knox County, Ohio grower Tim Norris explain their approach to new technology and potential improvements they'd like to see their precision dealers make in 2024 and beyond. This was recorded during a panel discussion at the 2024 Precision Farming Dealer Summit. You'll hear from me on stage. I'm asking questions, as is our executive editor Kim Schmidt in the audience. We'll also have a cameo from President Mike Lessiter. He also has a question for our two growers. So let's jump right in. We'll start with a little more about yourself and your operation. Joe, if you just kind of want to tell us about your more about your background and your farm.
Sure. I farm about 2,500 acres, mostly corn and soybeans. I'm 100% no-till and have been for 5 years. And I'm also 100% cover crops now. I farm some non-GMO soybeans, some other specialty soybeans, non-GMO corn.
How about you, Tim? What can you tell us about Norris Grain Farms?
Well, basically the goal for my farm has changed a lot, because for the first several years that I farmed, I was always farming to play with the equipment that I was selling and trying to learn about the tools and the services that we offered at Ag Infotech, and one, trying to prove those and using that data to help convince other growers to adopt. Now that I sold the company, the farm is my main focus, and now I'm trying to make sure the farm is profitable. So I farm basically with myself, and then the first employee that I had hired at Ag Infotech, he came when I left, he came to the farm as well. He wanted to farm with me. And we farm about 950 acres of our own corn, soybeans, wheat, and sunflowers. And then we do about 750 acres of custom planting and harvesting spraying now for neighbors.
Joe, just tell us about some of the cutting edge technology you're using right now that it's kind of giving you that winning edge on your farm.
I think that the most important technology for me is variable rate applications of broadcast amendments. Because I'm no-till and I'm very interested in soil health, it takes several years for the applications to really make a change. And I need to get the right product in the right place at the right time. Any over or under applications can really slow me down for several years.
How about you, Tim? Tell us about some of the technology you're using.
I think the thing that's helped the most is the hydraulic downforce. One of the things, especially in no-till, you've got to wait on no-till for the conditions to be right. And sometimes it's like 80% of the field's right there, and then there's that other 20% that's not. And if you didn't have hydraulic downforce, if you went on days like that, I think it could be, devastation to the crop. You're not going to get a good seed stand. And I think the hydraulic downforce has really helped us with that.
And when you're looking ahead to, this coming year, maybe even next year, Joe, are there any kind of upgrades or certain technologies you're interested in maybe adding to your arsenal?
I think my biggest upgrade in the next year will be a new self-propelled sprayer. My current sprayer is 11 years old. I'm looking forward to a new display, boom height control. With non-GMO soybeans and planting green into cover crops, I usually make 5 passes a year with the sprayer. And so I spend a lot of time in the sprayer. I'm really looking forward to some new technology there.
How about you, Tim?
Well, we're going to add the Right Spot from Ag Leader onto our sprayer this year. I've got an older 2006 Rogator, and I'm putting more money into the electronics than what I paid for the sprayer. So that's a little nerve-wracking, but hopefully the sprayer is in good mechanical condition and will last. But of that 1,700 acres that we're spraying on, our average field size is about 15 acres, and our larger fields are cut in half by waterways, making that even smaller. So I can't wait to see the savings that I'm going to have by not having to outline the waterways with the sprayer, let alone it's going to help me do a lot better job by keeping a constant pressure, a constant droplet size, and really helping us get the most effectiveness out of those products that we're applying and not having them drift away or applying them in the wrong way, too large of a droplet size.
And Tim, when you think about some of the pain points of, when you're adopting new precision technology, or some of the barriers that might keep some other farmers that you know from adopting it, what comes to mind just talking about some of the potential pain points that you've experienced?
As a farmer, I've always been trained to cost. Cost comes to mind. But if you can look at the ROI on it, a lot of these technologies have a really fast ROI. One of the biggest pain points that I've had, though, is adopting technology maybe too early. And then when you go to upgrade, when there's something new that comes out, that technology is not upgradable or not compatible with the next upgrade. So I really like to look at companies that have a integrated upgrade path where you can always add to the system.
How about you, Joe? Have you had any challenges when you're implementing new technology? Or
My biggest challenge is training operators and troubleshooting. I have several guys that are older, have never used a smartphone. I will put them in a piece of equipment. I'll be 20 minutes away, and they'll call me having problems. And it's very difficult for me to troubleshoot and solve their problems.
Any questions right now in the audience? Kim, I know you have a couple from the app.
All right, Tim, you answered this one on the app, but maybe you can share your answer with everyone, and then we can get Joe's answer as well. Is it a value to you for a dealership to have multiple precision product offerings, or does that make things more confusing?
No, I definitely think it's valuable, because I feel like if you just have one product offering, you're going to try to make that product fit, and you're not necessarily going to sell the best solution. I know that in an ideal world, there's going to be one brand out there that does everything exactly the way you want it, but that's not going to happen. For example, like if you're wanting to install tile, I definitely think, in my opinion, I really like the way that the Trimble handles the tile installation. If you're wanting good data, I really like the way AgLeader handles it, or Precision Planting. So those are the ways that I feel if you have multiple choices, you can offer the best solution to that grower.
I agree. I have Raven, Trimble, AgLeader, and John Deere systems, and I don't have any plans of going to a single system anytime soon, so I think having a dealer that supports some or all of those systems is great.
How heavily are you each relying on your dealership's precision team?
Go ahead, Tim.
Okay. I'm not relying on them a ton, because I just sold the company 4 years ago, and still have a fairly good knowledge of how to use the systems and what's out there, and I'm still fairly involved in precision ag. Where I really do rely on them is being able to be that interface between myself and the manufacturer to get updates and to help figure out problems if there is a problem that I can't figure out.
Similar for me, I do a lot of my own installations and troubleshooting, but it is nice to have someone at the dealership to call when I'm having a problem or I'm putting new technology on an existing piece of equipment.
Joe, as a follow-up, you had mentioned, you know, one of your pain points is getting some of your operators to understand the technology and things like that. Are any of their questions coming directly through to you, or do you have them, you know, reaching out to the dealer for support when they need the help?
Fortunately or unfortunately, I'm usually the filter.
So part of my speech yesterday was dealers doing clinics. I guess, where do you guys stand on what you expect out of your dealership to provide for a clinic, whether it's planters, combines, sprayers?
I think it's great to have at least a spring clinic to, you know, it's been 10 months since I've ran my planter to remind me of what that I need to do to get ready and make sure all my precision equipment is working right, and tell me about any new technology that's coming that I should be using.
I love dealer clinics, especially you're going to find out those little tidbits that your display might do or your machine might do that you never even thought of. For an example, I went to a McDonald clinic for the first time for a draper head, and there was like three things that I learned about that draper head that I never realized. When I bought the system used, it didn't come with a manual. I looked online at the manual, and to me, there's a lot of value of having a book in front of you where you can flip through it and take it and carry it out to the machine. And there's just some things that I missed that I gathered from that clinic. So I would say, as a dealership, make sure that you're bringing valuable information that people might not be thinking of, and try to bring information that can actually help them, and hopefully you'll have people attend. But it is hard to get farmers' time sometimes.
Yeah, that was a good question. We had a good discussion in a roundtable about the do's and don'ts of customer clinics, and one of the questions was, how do you get farmers to stay? If it's a longer clinic, say maybe it's you got a morning session and then a lunch and then an afternoon session, what's it going to take to get you to stay throughout the entire day? Or would you prefer the shorter clinics that are maybe just a couple hours and boom, you're on your way home? Any take on that?
I think tailoring it to what the farmer wants. If the farmer is extracting value out of the morning or the afternoon and they don't have a whole day to spend, why not let them come for a half day and leave when they need to?
And I would say I would rather do a whole day because I feel like my day is shot anyway if I'm going all morning and then stay through lunch. And then by the time you would get back, there's not a ton of stuff to do. I mean, you still could have plenty of things to do, but I'd rather just drive once and get it all done in a day. And if you make it exciting enough and interesting enough and valuable enough, they will stay.
I wanted to ask you about data management. I know there was a question in the app too about this. So do you want your dealership to offer data management, or is that something you would rather do yourself, Joe?
I don't know that the dealership plays an important role in data management for me. I do use John Deere Operations Center, and I use JD Link. Everything is updated real time, and it's important for me at the end of the day to review progress, especially when we have several machines in one or two fields, and then quickly identifying macro and micro trends and problems in my fields.
So I do my own data management, but that was really what I started Ag Infotech on. I had basically went to through an agronomy class through the co-op system, and I was out in Illinois, and I saw grid sampling for the first time in 1993, and it's like, wow, if this can work here where there's two soil types, what's it going to do in my eastern Ohio fields where we have maybe three or four soil types and one 12, 15-acre field? And I feel that soil sampling is something that I don't really want to do, but I know how I want my samples pulled, and so I'm kind of particular on making sure that I don't pull it too close to the row, that I, you know, pick it in the spot that I want it to be taken and that the depth is correct, so I can continue to do my own sampling. But I know there's a lot of farmers that utilized our services for that when I was in.
I have another one from the app. Are you guys running connected equipment on your operation? Is telematics helping you, or do you see it helping your dealer's service department more?
I do use JD Link with John Deere Operations Center. I don't know that the service technician uses it very often. It's good for me to sit at my computer and be able to tell how close to service I am on some of my equipment. But the biggest thing is looking at the yield monitor at the end of the day on having telematics and connected equipment.
So I do not use any telematic services other than Ag Leader's Agfinity. And it's really not, I'm not considering it telematics because it only syncs when I come back to the farm and hit connect to the Wi-Fi. But it is nice to have that data flowing in from the machines every time they come back to the shop. We have several areas that don't have connection to the internet, so I have not really went with the connected piece yet.
Tim, what's your take on autonomy? Does it currently have a place on your farm, or do you see it having a place on your farm in the next 5 to 10 years?
I've wanted autonomy since I first saw auto steer. I was trying to figure out, you know, we had put a light bar on a horse-drawn sprayer so that Amish could tell where he was spraying through the field. And he was joking with me, can we put the easy steer on so it'll pull the ropes and the reins too? But I've always thought autonomy would be something that would be coming sooner than it has. For those of you that don't know, I spent 2 years with Smart Ag, and then a year with Smart Ag and a year with Raven on the auto cart. And that really excited me, that technology I could see working on my farm and helping me out a ton. Unfortunately, I don't have it yet. I don't have a tractor new enough, and don't really know if it's totally released yet or not. But last year, we had a Fendt on the farm, and we had a group from Brazil coming up, and Ag Infotech brought this Sabanto Fendt out, and we got to mow 40 acres of pasture with it, and it was really neat to see. So I'm really looking forward to it. I don't know if I'm going to be able to afford it if you have to have a brand new tractor and the technology on top of that. But if it will retrofit to tractors that are 10, 15 years old, I could see it having a fit.
Joe, is autonomy, does it seem like a science fiction movie to you, or is it pretty close to having a place on your farm?
No, I think it's close. If Tesla can create a self-driving car that can drive down the highway with all the unknowns and variables present on the highway, why can't we make a tractor that drives itself in the field? I would use it as a time savings. If I can spray 90 acres an hour sitting in the sprayer, I don't want to be able to spray 90 acres an hour standing by the side of the field babysitting the autonomous sprayer. It has to be a time savings for me. But with weather events every year, shortening my planting window, a lot of times I'm riding the planter one day and spraying the next. And if I have 10 good days to plant and I just burn up one of those because I had to get out of the planter and get in the sprayer, it's very inefficient for me in my operation. I think autonomy will take a place on his farm, but just like Tim said, it's going to be cost. I don't cover 25,000 acres, I cover 2,500. So it has to be a cost-effective solution for me.
I'm going to add, Joe, It sounds like you're thinking like I am on autonomy, but are you thinking it would be something awesome for planting cover crops or spraying, that doing your fall spraying while you're in the field with the combine? Because that's how I view it working.
Or spring spraying. When I'm in the planter, if it can be spraying in the field next to me that I just planted, that's where I see autonomy working for me. I do use a no-till drill, and I cover a lot of acres drilling cover crops. It's a mindless job. You cover 10 acres an hour and drive 5 miles an hour through the field. If I could automate that, that would be great.
And all this technology is coming so fast. I mean, I went to the FIRA conference a couple of years ago, and my head like wanted to explode. I mean, how much do you rely on dealerships, these guys here, to keep you up to speed on that? And Tim, do you think they could do maybe a better job of educating people, or what's the challenge there? You have a unique background in that.
I rely on the dealership and the dealership meetings, and then coming to meetings like this and the National No-Till Conference. And I also moderate a peer group of, there's 9 precision ag dealers. So I get a lot of information from them and get to see what's going on different segments. And so that's how I stay educated.
As much as dealers and conferences help me, Facebook groups have been great for troubleshooting problems. Chances are, if I'm having a problem, someone else has seen it, and farmers tend to be pretty open to sharing their lessons learned. That's no matter if it's a dealer or a Facebook group, wherever I can get help, I'm glad to receive it.
And let's burn a quick time out to remind you that the Precision Farming Dealer podcast series is brought to you by Ag Express. Dealers, farmers, and those in ag know the importance of getting the most from their efforts. Technology has been a significant game changer when it works, and when it doesn't, turn to the experts at Ag Express Electronics. You find a way by specializing in the timely repair, support, sales, and engineering of ag technology. Ag Express provides component-level repairs to save time and money on those costly replacements. They also offer wiring harnesses and custom solutions to meet your customers' unique needs. They also offer wiring harnesses and custom solutions to meet your customers' unique needs. A vast portfolio of over 2,000 supported products allows Ag Express to provide possibilities for numerous agricultural concepts, whether planting, harvesting, chemical application, or hay baling. Ag Express has a solution for nearly any operation. You can feel confident doing business with Ag Express Electronics because of their excellent reputation, track record for quality work, and commitment to technology. The company is 100% certified, employee-owned, and celebrating over 30 years of providing possibilities. Now, back to the conversation.
I'll ask this, because this was a hot topic last year. Opinion on the Right to Repair Act. Do you have an opinion?
Yeah, I definitely feel like you've paid all that money for that piece of equipment. I think you have the right to repair it. I do understand that maybe you don't have the right to modify some of the software, but I think you should have the right to have that diagnostic tool and to be able to figure out what's wrong with it and not have to call the dealership. And I do understand that if you take that responsibility on yourself and you damage something in that piece of equipment, that you would be liable for that and have to pay for that.
It's very important for me. I have a lot of equipment that I put less than 150 hours a year on. The depreciation and repair cost is great. I'm not ready to upgrade to newer equipment. And if you tell me that I have to use the dealership to work on this new piece of equipment, I'm going to be less likely to upgrade. I want to be able to troubleshoot and fix my equipment myself.
So a common theme at Precision Farming Dealer Summits over the years is charging for phone support. So do you guys find the support, phone support from your Precision dealer is worth paying for? Or, you know, how are you approaching that or responding to getting that charge?
I definitely feel that it's worth paying for. Your time is extremely valuable. And a lot of the time, it's hard to get a hold of that person at the dealership that might have that answer for you really quickly. But if there's time spent trying to help somebody actually turn the monitor on, or I can think of one time I had a call from a grower and I said, well, what page are you on the display? And he says, I don't know. I see a flag and an owl. And I'm like, a flag and an owl? I don't ever remember that on an Ag Leader display. But what he saw was that little field emblem, and he called that a flag, and he saw the USB emblem, and he called that an owl. But it's like, if you're tied up talking and dealing to somebody like that, and you're not able to get to the real questions because they didn't read the manual, I feel that their time's going to be, it's going to be much more valuable for me if I have to pay for it and I can actually get a hold of somebody right now when I need them, versus having them be tied up on a question that they really shouldn't have bothered tech support with.
I'm willing to pay for it. I'll read the manual and do everything I can, but if I'm broke down on the side of the field, it's costing me money to sit there trying to fix my own problem. If I can make that quicker by calling someone, I'll be glad to pay for it.
Would a dealer agronomist benefit your operation over having an agronomist represented by the co-op? What do you think?
I don't use co-op agronomists anymore. I think it's a conflict of interest to have someone telling you how much fertilizer to put on and also selling you fertilizer. I use independent agronomists. I have two of them that I use on my operation.
So I'm no longer a CCA certified agronomist, but when I was there, we had four of us on staff that were CCA certified. So I see several Precision dealerships that have certified agronomists on staff, and they're quite successful. And it is because it's that independent look at your operation and recommending products independently from what they're selling.
I know there was an article, I believe it was in the Wall Street Journal, I think, about OEM shifting more to the retrofit mindset. So, Tim, I want to ask you, what's your take on that? Do you think that would that drive more technology to the farm? You think that'll increase adoption rates? You know, farmers being able to just add something to existing equipment rather than having to go all in and spend, you know, I don't know, $500,000 on completely new equipment?
Yeah, I definitely think that'll help increase adoption, although that's what we built our business on. It's what Precision Planting, Ag Leader, Trimble, Raven have all kind of built their business around retrofitting equipment. And it's neat to start to see that the mainline dealerships or mainline equipments are actually buying some of these companies, with Case purchasing Raven and Case getting a majority share of Trimble, or AGCO getting a majority share of Trimble and then owning Precision Planting. I think that's just going to help that adoption of retrofitting existing equipment. So
those tractors that I own that get less than 150 hours a year, a lot of times they're 10, 20, 30, 40, over 40 years old, and I've put auto steer systems and displays in them. It's important for me to be able to retrofit anything that I have. I don't want to go out and buy a $500,000 tractor to plant cover crops with, but I do want auto steer, so I'm not overlapping in every round. I think when we talk about autonomy and going to, John Deere's done a great job of making very expensive tractors that are comfortable for an operator to ride in. When we shift to an autonomous mindset, a lot of the cheaper equipment that's not as operator friendly will be a great platform for an autonomous system if it can be retrofitted.
What parts of Precision dealer support do you feel should be built into the cost of new equipment, and how long should that last? Tim?
So I, when I was at Ag Infotech, I built way too much in the end of the cost of the equipment, and probably made it last way too long because we were servicing so much of the old stuff and not charging for it on phone support. And finally, we made that decision to start charging for phone support and then actually starting to charge for anything that's out of warranty. I feel that it's probably fair to build in that warranty period of helping a grower with it. After that, I think charging for the support is needed and necessary for the dealership to survive.
Yeah, I think that as a farmer, I'd like to see at least 3 years of support. I don't plan on replacing that piece of equipment for at least 3 years. So I think you definitely have to do it through the warranty period, and I'd like to see 3 years. But I think that providing good support and not charging for it, you're going to get a repeat customer as well. I know you don't want to provide 10 years of support, but a few years is great.
Question for two of you that I know that will probably be of interest to most people in the room, and it's on the topic of a color conversion. What would it take, if you're red or you're green, whatever you are, what would it take, what does a dealer need to come with for you to seriously consider changing the color of your fleet on your combines, your tractors?
Support. I bled green. I just really thought that, you know, if it wasn't green, it wasn't mean. I didn't want anything else. I didn't want a case. I didn't have any eyes for any piece of equipment except that. But then after I got involved in the Precision Ag dealership, I started to see the support that we were getting from our local case dealer. And every grower I went to that worked with this dealership had nothing but good things to say about their support. They had the parts, they had the service, people didn't have to wait. And I bought a red combine. Now pretty much everything I have on a farm is either red or blue. To me, it all came down to dealer support. And the only reason I got the blue stuff was I was renting space for our dealership off of a New Holland dealer. So I bought the New Holland tractor. And although their support is really good, I'd much rather have a red one because of the dealership support that we have from that red dealership.
I think for me, it's service, parts, and cost. I have a great John Deere dealer, and that's why we have mostly John Deere equipment. But when I have a problem and need to get parts, I can get parts that day or the next day. When I need a service tech to come out on something that's over 10 years old, usually the next day a service tech will be there to help me. And I don't have that level of support from the other dealers. It's cost too, though. When it comes time for me to buy a new piece of equipment, I'm definitely cost shopping across platforms.
Yeah, you just touched. Thanks for that question, by the way, Mike. Good one. You kind of just touched on this, Joe, but someone else asked in the app. You know, what do you look for in a precision ag technician and or salesman? What really sets those people apart from the crowd?
For me, it's supporting new systems as well as existing. I have a lot of older precision systems that I'm using, and I'd like a technician to be able to tell me how to troubleshoot the older systems and make them work. The other thing is retrofits. We've talked about it before, but when I'd like to put new technology into an existing piece of equipment, I'd like help with wiring harnesses and installation and setup for those.
What I look for in a technician is somebody that's prepared. I like for them to have the equipment to actually do the diagnostics on the farm. I like for them to have the knowledge of knowing where to look and not guessing. I also like for the salesperson, I think you asked about a salesperson.
Yes.
Yeah. For the salesperson, I want them to know what the products will do, what the products will not do. I don't expect them to know everything about that product because they sell multiple lines. But one of the questions that I saw come up on the app was a precision specialist or product line specialist. And that's one thing I think that there has to be one person at that dealership that knows the website, you know, how to order the parts, knows the people at that company, knows the diagnostics and everything about that particular product line. Not every single technician or every single salesperson have to know everything about it, but there needs to be somebody at the dealership that is a product line specialist that knows all that, that they can go to and get the answer while they're on the farm.
How do you guys feel about one-time technology activations versus annual subscription or licenses versus a per-acre subscription license? Okay, well, in terms of the cost, I guess.
We were just talking about that before we came up. The farmer in me wants to do the one-time purchase and then own it. Although there are some things that I do subscribe to on a yearly basis, and it is kind of nice to always have the updates and everything provided for you. And if I went to some piece of technology that I bought on a subscription or that type of a product, an annual fee, it would be nice to always get that old equipment off the farm and get the new equipment on. So I can see benefits both ways.
Me too. It comes down to cost, but I see myself using my old displays. I keep putting them in another piece of equipment, and it's nice to be able to take my display that I don't use in my combine anymore and put it in an old tractor to have auto steer. With the subscription model, that doesn't work for me. I still like the idea of owning it and it having some resale value when I get rid of it.
Do you expect 12, 18, or 24-hour support out of your precision specialist? And do you expect phone, on-site, either, both? What do you think?
I think 12-hour support is sufficient for me. If I've been running for 16 hours and it's 10 o'clock at night and I'm having a problem and I can't contact someone on the phone, it's a good excuse for me to go home.
Good answer.
Same.
Tim?
12 hours. Because I've been in your shoes. There's no reason. And when I left, they advertised 24-hour support at Ag Infotech, and I thought, you're crazy. There's no way I'd want to do that. It was bad enough just getting phone calls all the time till 12 at night, basically, and I don't want to do that to anyone. So 12 hours is plenty, in my opinion.
And I don't expect the technician to come running out to the field every time I have a problem. Phone support's good enough for me. And FaceTime has been very helpful for me for turning on FaceTime, facing it at the display, and whether I'm troubleshooting for someone else or someone else is helping me troubleshoot, it's simple, but it works.
And are there service contracts that your dealership makes you agree to get that kind of support, or how does that work? Are you under any kind of service contract, an annual contract, or?
I am not, but the dealership does have service contracts.
I'm not under contract, but I keep buying equipment, so I guess they still answer the phone.
There you go. Okay, this one, you know, we kind of touched on this throughout the session, but just again, what do you most rely on your dealer's precision department for?
I think the biggest thing is if I go to the dealership and I say, this is what I want to do, I want to solve this problem, I'd like the precision department to be able to say, we can sell you this piece of equipment. This is what it's going to take to install it on your tractor or combine, whatever it is, and that will solve the problem that you're having.
I would agree. A solution type sell is what I'm looking for. I want them to know my farm well enough to know the problems that I have, and I want them to challenge me on the way that I'm using technology or doing things now and bring something new to the table. So,
do you have any questions for each other? I mean, I know you just met each other, so were there any immediate precision-related topics that you discussed right away or that you both really were at the top of your list to talk with each other about?
For me, it was interesting to hear Tim's perspective on the subscription model. I see manufacturers wanting to sell you a receiver display and all the hardware you need to install it in your tractor. And maybe I'm getting older, but it's tough for me to swallow the $2,000 or $5,000 a year cost for that system versus buying it once for $10,000 or $15,000 and owning it forever.
Well, we had all kinds of questions when we first met, but yeah. Trying to think back.
It's tougher when you're on stage and you can't see anything.
One of the things I'm curious about is 2,500 acres of no-till, and you're able to put cover crop on all 2,500 acres. How do you accomplish that? Because with two people, we just can't do that.
A lot of it is aerial applied. I'm in the USDA NRCS EQIP program. With that, it comes with restrictions. I have to apply cover crop and standing crop, and I will hire an airplane to come in for 2 days and fly on cover crop. The other part of it is I hire retired guys. I hire guys that are 70 years old and used to drive a semi and want something to do. Sometimes I'm a marriage counselor as much as a farmer, and they like spending time in tractors, and I like having them. So for the cover crops that we drill after harvest, they've been a great solution for me.
That's good, because my brother just quit farming and I took over his farm, and I told him, if you want something to do, you can plant my cover crops. So that's what we're going to try for this fall. So,
do you guys use drones? I know you said aerial apply cover crops. So you do that with drones, or?
A little bit. Previously, it's been a manned airplane that's flown them on. This year, I did do 80 acres through a Indiana State Department of Agriculture program, and it was flown on with a drone. They brought two UAVs out and alternated back and forth. It worked really well for me. I live close to houses. I farm close to houses. I farm close to highways. Sometimes it's tough to get the guy with the airplane to apply on those fields. And if it can be cost and timing effective for me to use a autonomous or a remote control UAV to do those fields, it would be huge for me.
Yeah, I've used drones for several years. When I was at Ag Info Tech, I used them quite a bit, and we struggled a lot with getting the images stitched together because it was in the beginning phases. We struggled with finding enough room to actually land the drone. We were using the Ag Eagle systems, and they required like 1,000 feet of flat area to land, and that was just kind of hard for us to find in our areas. So. The helicopters have been a great asset, and I use those for field scouting now, but I have not used anything for aerial application. However, one of the guys from the local co-op that used to spray my fields before I got a Rogator started a company of spraying with drones. So I'm hoping he gets a dry system this year, and we can actually do some cover crop seeding too with that to try to see how it works for us.
Yeah, you see so many drones on the market, and everyone's billing theirs as the fastest and largest. Or you go to the Farm Progress Show or the Ag Equipment Expo, and you see all these different kinds of products and technologies. I'm just curious, how do you sift through what's worth investing in or not? Does it just come down to ROI when you're looking at new products, and you have all these different brands, or maybe your dealership's showing you all these different kind of products? All come down to ROI or what?
I think ROI and manpower, labor that it takes to run it as well. I have seen the systems where you have 10 drones, and while one is landing, you're changing out batteries and refilling, and they just keep working their way through. But like I said earlier, if I'm spraying 90 acres an hour now, and I buy an autonomous sprayer, and I'm still only covering 90 acres an hour, and I'm standing at the edge of the field, I don't know that it's a great benefit for my operation.
I think it should come down to ROI for me, and I love ROI, and I talk about it a lot. But the honest fact is, I still have my first computer I ever bought, which is a Commodore VIC-20 that had 4K of RAM, and it's sitting in a display case in my office, and I was one of the first people to have AutoSteer when it didn't pay. So. If autonomy came out and it didn't have an ROI, I'd probably buy one just because I want to be the first in the area to really utilize it. And so I guess it should come to ROI, but a lot of times I make those decisions just because I like the technology.
Any last words, any big takeaway you want these guys to take home in terms of what you guys want from them? Tim, anything you want to send them home with?
Biggest takeaway I have is your job is extremely important, and it's more than selling technology. I'll share a real quick story about I had sold two AutoSteer systems to a grower and his wife, and I was sitting in their kitchen, and they're like, this money that we're going to give you, this $55,000 for these two AutoSteer systems, it's for our kitchen. My wife is giving that money up. and not remodeling the kitchen, and she wants to make sure it's going to pay back. And I said, I really do believe it's going to provide a payback. Well, wasn't 2 or 3 weeks after into spring planting, maybe even not 10 days, their auto steer broke down. And I got a call, I went out and fixed it. And I remember Diane coming down over the hill in a pickup truck, waving her arms at me. And I thought, oh crap, she's gonna give me a hard time because this broke down. And she said, I wanna thank you. And I said, well, your auto steer broke. And she said, yeah, I know, Tom already radioed you fixed that, but I wanna thank you for giving me my husband back. And I'm like, what are you talking about? She says, well, I used to bring dinner out to the field, and him and my son would come, and they'd eat it, and they'd just eat as fast as they could, and they'd get back in the tractor and go. I'm cleaning a mess up. She's like, now I'm riding in a tractor with him. I really get to enjoy some time with him. And when he comes home, he's not tired. So that really got me thinking about precision with a purpose, and that's what our tagline was at Ag Infotech. And what you guys are really doing is selling solutions to the farmers. You're not selling technology. You're selling a solution to a need that they have. So keep up the good work.
I think my request would be don't forget about the small farmers. I think that a lot of times the small farmers feel like they're getting left behind. I think that for the good of agriculture and for the good of the United States economy, it's great to keep many small farms and not just a few large farms. And when it comes time to retrofit or install used equipment or support used equipment, anything that you can do to help the small guys out is great.
And that'll wrap things up for this edition of the Precision Farming Dealer Podcast. Big thanks to our sponsor, Ag Express Electronics, for making this podcast series possible. And thank you so much for tuning in. As always, until next time, for all things Precision Farming Dealer related, head to precisionfarmingdealer.com. I'm Noah Newman. Have a great day.